Thank you. How many of you are old enough to have received a little acrylic block or square with a single mustard seed inside it? How many of you are old enough to remember to get one of those? Okay, a few of you. How many of you had a little acrylic ball that was like a necklace that had that same mustard seed inside it? Some folk in the balcony and some down here too. You know, when I was, I had an acrylic square and I looked everywhere for it and I could not find it for today because I thought it would be kind of neat to show it to some of the younger folk who have no idea what I'm talking about here, but it was quite a popular little thing. I'm sure it's in the house somewhere, and I'm sure my daughters will find it at the estate sale. And I'm sure they'll either wonder, what in the world is this, or they'll bring a very pretty penny for some nostalgic baby boomer. But when I was a child, and I first heard the story of the parable of the mustard seed, I literally thought that if I had enough faith, if I could find the gold's gem of spirituality, if I could work out at the weight machine of spirituality, that I could increase my faith, and if I wanted to, I could tell a mulberry tree to uproot itself and to go put itself in the Illinois River. Now, I realize as an adult that that's magical thinking. Couldn't really happen. And I realize as an adult that sometimes Jesus spoke in metaphors to drive home a point. The context for today's gospel lesson is that Jesus was telling the apostles, those who were really serious about his teachings, about taking Jesus seriously, he was telling them that they need to be careful how they live their lives, the decisions that they make, and the words that they say. Because what they say and do influences other people. They will judge the God that the disciples worship by the actions of the disciple. And Jesus said, be careful how you speak and how you live, because people are watching and listening and they are judging. And it would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and to be thrown in the deepest part of the sea rather than have one of the little ones stumble and fall from the faith. Now, the little ones could have been children. It could have been those who are new to the faith. And if that was not enough food for thought for the disciples of Jesus or the apostles of Jesus in Luke's gospel, he went on to say, if someone offends you or sins against you, you must forgive them. And if they do it again and again and again and again in the same day, you must forgive them every time. And it's at this point that the disciples say, Lord, give us more faith, for this is more than we can possibly do. And Jesus' response was what I said to the children. If you had but the faith of a mustard seed, you could tell a mulberry tree to uproot itself and throw itself in the sea. Now, that's a metaphorical statement. A clearer translation of that would be what Eugene Peterson did in his Bible a paraphrase called The Message, in which he said, there is no more faith. You have all the faith you need to do what you need to do. In the second epistle of Corinthians, Jesus says in red letter editions to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Have you ever taken a hike where you have to cross a small stream? And you're not really sure how to do it, so you begin to look for the rocks. There may be someone in your party who is going to cross the stream first. And so then they put one foot on a rock, then over here, and then over here. And some of the rocks may be a little bit slippery. There may be a log or a large piece of wood. But eventually you see that person make it across the stream. And then you try to do the same thing. Now their footsteps may have been a little bit, there may have been a little bit larger, wider than yours, but you find a way to do it. Now there may be some times when you slip on a rock and you fall and you get wet, but you get yourself back up. Or there may be a time when you find a little bit of a rock because you can't quite make that leap that the first person made, and you get your toes wet, but you survive. And eventually you find yourself on the other side of the stream. Well, Jesus was the pioneer. He was the first one to cross the stream of life. He came to show us the way. In the Gospel of John, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way for you to find truth. And in finding that truth, you will find what life really is about. You will find that life is about love and grace, hope, peace, joy. You will find that there are more that unites us than divides us. You will find that 100 years from now, those things that have given us the most problems, that have vexed our souls the most, won't even be remembered. If you have but the faith the size of a mustard seed, Jesus is saying, you have all the faith you need. All you have to do is take the first step. I remember when I was in seminary, a fellow named Gary and I were friends, but for some reason we had a falling out. I don't remember what it was about. Something was said and someone was offended, as oftentimes happens with words and actions, doesn't it? We both worked in the seminary campus in the same building, in the same hallway. Our offices were right next to each other, but this building was so that you could have a circle around. And so when I was going to work one morning, I thought to myself, I can take the opposite way around and go a longer way and then get to my office. I never have to pass Gary's office lest he be there with the door open. And then I thought to myself, why should I be a prisoner? You know, forgiveness is about setting ourselves free. So I walked down my normal hallway. Gary's door was open. I stuck my head in and said, good morning, Gary, and continued on my walk. That simple first step broke the ice. That's all faith is, taking that first step. This table reminds us of the one who took the first step. You see, this table represents the joyful feast of the people of God. Men and women will come from north and south, east and west, who sit at this table. For this is the Lord's table. And he invites those of us who take him seriously, those who trust in him, to come and to enjoy the meal that he has prepared for us. In the Gospel of St. Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Would you join me in our great prayer of thanksgiving on this World Communion Sunday? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Our Lord God, we are thankful that in the beginning you brought order out of chaos, and in the midst of darkness you brought light before there were heavenly bodies. We are thankful that you called Abraham to be the father of many nations and peoples. We are thankful that when our spiritual ancestors were slaves in Egypt, that you called Moses through a burning bush in order to set our people free, and that though he doubted in his own abilities, he took that first step of faith. And we are thankful that when our ancestors went to the very brink of the promised land, that land flowing with milk and honey, and were afraid and turned back into the wilderness, longing for the flesh pots of Egypt, that you did not abandon us, but that you fed us and guided us night and day. We are thankful that when a whole generation died away and a new generation rose up, that the baton was passed to a new generation of leaders, and Joshua led our spiritual ancestors into that land of milk and honey, and that you sent the prophets to remind us of your way. And though they were ignored and sometimes killed, you did not give up on us. When we were taken into Babylonian captivity, you told us to build homes and to plant gardens and to give our sons and daughters in marriage and to seek the welfare of the city into which we had been exiled. And then at the right time, you decided to become one of us in Jesus of Nazareth, born of Joseph and Mary, the one whom we call the Christ. And he taught and he healed. He showed us a better way. He showed us your way. And when he was betrayed by one of his inner circle, when he was denied by someone whom he loved, and when he was abandoned by all who had followed him, left to die on a cross, he forgave them. And buried in a borrowed tomb, on that third day when the women went to the tomb, they found the stone rolled away, the tomb being empty, and they heard someone say to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? You seek Jesus of Nazareth. He is not here, but he has been risen as he told you he would. Go and tell the disciples." And so they did. And Jesus came once again to us, commissioning us to baptize, to teach, and to remember, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This table is a living reminder of your presence with us as we walk our own walk of faith. And we lift up prayers of thanksgiving today for the life of Alvin Murphy, for the many tender mercies that came into this world because of him, and that for him pain and suffering and death have passed and he's entered into your glory. Receive, we very humbly pray, a sheep of your flock, a lamb of your fold, a sinner of your redeeming. Receive him into that glorious company of the saints who dwell eternally in the light of your love. We pray for ourselves, our own joys and sorrows. We pray for our nation and for our church. Bless the leadership. Give them an extra portion of wisdom. Enable us to be the healing balm that helps bring peace to this world, into our own lives and the lives of our families. All of these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. On the night of his arrest, when Jesus was with his disciples, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, all of you, for this is my body that is broken for you." In the very same manner, after they had supped, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant that is sealed in my blood. As often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you are proclaiming the death of the Lord until he comes." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. All who believe in me will never hunger, and all who trust in me will never thirst." He also said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Cut off from me, you can do nothing." The table has been set, the invitation has been given. Let us enjoy the meal that our Lord has prepared for us. I invite you, as you receive the elements, to consume them as you receive them. As you pass the elements to one another, be reminded that we are the priesthood of believers, that we serve one another. And in the consuming of the elements, be reminded that together we are the body of Christ.